Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Patriot Come Lately Show. This is Stefan, your Patriot Come Lately, the voice of the Second American Revolution. Good evening, good afternoon, good morning, whenever or wherever you are listening. As someone who came to America to escape from the socialist nightmare, I'm using this show to shake America awake. Join me in the next hour for constitutional conservative news and views, as well as the occasional guest. We have to rebuild that shining city on the hill by taking this great country back to the principles set forth by the founders.
And this is Stephen, your Patriot Come Lately, British by birth but American by choice, voice of the Second American Revolution, and glad to be here again and talk about the Second American Revolution. Tonight we're going to be talking about the Second American Civil War. You say, I didn't know there was a second one. Well, not yet, but in books. There has been. We'll be talking about that later, as you know from my invitations. The guest tonight is author Ari Reapy, who's actually out of Nevada now, and he's written a couple of what I would call liberty genre books. I've called them Tea Party in the past, but this is more of a liberty genre, and we'll talk a bit more about that later. But first of all, our regular features to the show. The first one, Sir Winston Churchill, and in honor of our guest tonight, I have this from him. We shall not fail or falter. We shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools and we will finish the job. I chose that one. I think it matches very well with the sentiments expressed in Reapy's books. It's also, I think, a very good one as we get closer to election, and the countdown right now is 174 days until the election and 249 until we put King Barry on that Air Force One and send him back to Chicago. And I think that that quote from Sir Winston Churchill, we cannot fail or falter, we need to keep going, and we will have some battles, but we're also going to have long, drawn-out trials that we're going to have until the election, but we need to keep going. Things are beginning to look reasonably well here and there, so really looking forward to that. Okay, very quickly, the Nebraska primary today, another Tuesday, another set of votes. Very quickly, I was hoping to bring some good news and say, hey, the Tea Party has come back with yet another candidate that is making it through everything. But unfortunately, it looks like John Bruce is losing now to Deb Fischer, who is the establishment candidate. So in the GOP primary, still very close, but we'll have to wait and see at the end of the evening how that's going. I want to say hello to folks in the chat room, some of the regulars there, John and Minnesota Girl, Will Scott's in there, and of course Doc White from the Conservative Underground is there. So looking forward to some going back and forth for any guests who are listening. So if you haven't signed up with BTR and got yourself a handle, it means BTR will not let you.
Lately Show, coming to you on the internet via Blog Talk Radio. Also available via WRS Digital, the Red State Talk Radio Network at redstatetalkradio.com.
And I'm back in the show. Sorry about that break, folks. A little bit of a problem here on the network, it looks like. So I'm going to go ahead and bring in the guest. As I said, it's Ari Ree, who has written a couple of great, thrilling books. One called, the first one was FEMA Camp 37, about a bunch of freedom fighters who liberate a camp, and then the second one is FEMA Camp 43. So as you can guess, it also is talking about FEMA camps. But I'm going to bring in the guest and let him tell you a little bit more about the books. So just a moment, and see that Blog Talk Radio has made the line live. Rex, are you there?
I'm here, Stefan. How are you doing? Can you hear me?
Okay. Glad to hear you. So, yes, I can. And sorry about that little break a little bit earlier, but I'm staying at a hotel, and unfortunately the network here is slightly unreliable. So if I do drop during the show, just keep talking, please, Rex, and I'll dial back in again.
Say Homeland Security's on to you, Stefan. King Barry, how are you going to be in the
and
next
we,
for these days?
So we have, well, as I said in the email to you, that I would wear that as a badge of honor. And not only do we have Rex himself, but also I believe your wife, who assisted on the books.
She's my editor, my proofreader, and also my guinea pig test reader. Say hi.
Hello.
Okay. Hello there, Marcia. Glad to have you on. Rex, just I've read the two books that are currently out there on Amazon. Do you care to give the kind of the 5-minute overview of the books and just tell the listeners what they're about and you know, all the good stuff?
Well, I started. I'll make it a short encapsulated story. I started. I entered a contest, a writing contest, with one of my novels, and it was a Scientologist contest out there, the Writers of the Future. They kicked back that novel because they said it was too many words, so I got ticked off. And then one weekend, I wrote a little short novel called Prison City, and they had a 17,000-word limit. So me and most of the people that know me from where I grew up at and know how I act, I ended it at 16,999 words. But during that time writing it, my stories come to me in my dreams. I'm not like a normal writer, I guess, in the sense like John Hancock. That's a pretty good book, and I'm sure he spent a lot of time and research and organizing it. Mine, they come to me in my dreams. I know almost word for word from beginning to end along the way. But so during that time, when I was writing Prison City, I had a dream about FEMA Camp 37, so I took off in that tangent there. And that stems primarily from what's going on in the world today, you know. Here you got your last author, I think it was episode, well, whatever it was with John Hancock, he was making the point about how it's taken so long for develop the concept of freedom. And really, I'm a little bit on the other side. I don't think it was freedom that drove the people from the European countries at one time. I think they were fed up with being told what to do, what to say, and giving their treasures away to a king or some type of government. I mean, can you imagine going out and grabbing your kid and getting on a 180-foot boat? I'm telling you, the room service and the latrine on that was probably a nasty thing going across a big pond. And then coming to a new country and all you see is trees. There was no McDonald's or 7-Elevens there waiting on you, you know. So that's called intestinal fortitude. That's called guts. And that's what drove them here. The historians have changed that fact over time, saying that it was a desire to be free. And that intestinal fortitude kept coming across the ocean in droves. A lot of them died. They kept pushing and pushing across this big country until about 1920. And then it was filled up. So they started, you know, people in power started saying, we've got to quell this beast or this desire to be truly free. And that's what's happened with our schools and kind of our parents' fault. It's mostly the schools. The parents said, well, the schools should teach them what it's like to live in America and how a special place it is. And so that brings us now to what's happening in current events. I think that beast has been awakened. The first was the Tea Party. They were the first to start sounding the alarm. And they've tried it in a peaceful manner. Look what's happened to them. They've been ridiculed. They've been reviled by the left, all these other things. And then you got the Occupy and the Anonymous movement. And I'm friends with a lot of these groups. And they're all starting to come together. Everybody's realizing something's wrong. And what's going to rule the day is economics. One day everybody's going to be unified because it's not going to be pretty. So that's why I wrote FEMA Camp 37. Because freedom isn't something that you're born with. It's something that has to be learned. You have to learn to be free. And usually that was taught by your parents. Again, in a covered wagon going across the prairies, you learn to be free. And that's what you see now. So in FEMA Camp 37, there's the inmates. They've been in FEMA Camp 37 for 10 years now, since 2012. That's when the society starts to break down with food riots. And we'll get into that later. But I take the story to 2022. And there are some rugged individuals that know what freedom are. They're the ones that escape. And they run across this old man named Zach. He's a long-haired, radical person. And started the story with an inmate named Scott. He's actually a Facebook. I picked his name. He's a pretty unique person. And he's in his cell, and he's watching the morning news like he's been doing for the last 5 years. And there's three stations, ABC, NBC, CBS. They're government-owned now. And, you know, it's kind of similar to what happened in 1933 Germany with their communications. But anyhow, he's watching TV, and all of a sudden the morning news anchor, man, somebody shoots him and gets on the screen. And it goes from there, and he declares war on the federal government. He's told Homeland Security they've killed one person too many. And at that same simultaneous moment, there are 608 FEMA camps. Seven other FEMA camps across the nation are attacked. I place the setting in Nevada because Nevada's a pretty empty state still. If anybody's been here, they've been to the Strip, but you just go 6 miles off the Strip, it's ghost town now. And if you go throughout the state, there are 750 ghost towns in Nevada. So it's pretty wild, but if you've ever been riding a horse high in the mountains, you see some pretty amazing things. And that's where these people go to survive. But they start getting organized and they start fighting back. And that's where the story starts with this guy. First time they blow up FEMA Camp 37, 19 people come out of a camp that had 200,000 prisoners. And those 19 people didn't flee because of freedom. They fled out of fear because they were in a comfort zone. They got told what to do. They got fed every day. Everything was copacetic. They had their little TV set. Some of them got privileged cells. And that's where the story takes off, where they meet this old man, and his freedom fighters are called scouts, and they operate in horses because with gas at $200-$300 a gallon, or if you can find it, horses is the way to get around in Nevada, if anybody's been in the state and gone traveling around on one. And they take it from there, and it centers all my novels, all three of them. I started with a trilogy. But all three of them are told from a female point of view. They're about women. And there's this one character named Amanda, and she's been in the FEMA camp since she was 12. And at first, I've had emails from readers that get uptight because, why did I even have her? She's a bitch, you know. I mean, by the sixth chapter, but she knows because she fled to go back to FEMA Camp 37, she'll get executed for trying to escape. So she joins the Free America movement, and they have a base up in the mountains with this old man, Zach. And she eventually morphs into one of the most deadly wanted terrorists in American history. And if you've read the story, you know what I'm talking about. And her name, she takes the handle of the Pale Rider. And don't want to give the end of the story away, but there were some emotional highs, some emotional lows, some violence, and some real fun moments in it. But that's the premise of the first book. The second book picks up on the second. The first book ends on the second attack. They keep rebuilding FEMA Camp 37. During that attack to FEMA Camp 43, there's a that time, Free America, people had discovered what freedom's about, word has spread. And this time, 2,200 people, they don't flee because out of fear. They flee because they want to be free. And they didn't anticipate that. And one of those prisoners was a woman named Lynn Beasley. That's my wife's middle name and her maiden name. I use a lot of people that I know in life as my characters trying to find names. And it's basically FEMA Camp 43. I had to go to a higher level. So everybody loves horses. That was in the first book. But the second book starts involving dogs and a real loner of the scouts. Most of them operate in packs of 2 to 4 people. But there's this one who appeared in FEMA Camp 37 who was freed by he was saved from the Hussein Guard. That's King Barry's private guard. And taken to the FEMA camp or to the base and decided he was going to be a scout. But he's a real loner. He rides a horse, but he doesn't haul butt through the mountains. He has a mule and carries supplies, and he always travels in class and never gets in a hurry. And he becomes one of the most wanted people in America because he develops the concept of poison, just like the Pale Rider. And he meets Lynn Beasley. He saves him. And it's kind of a love story with some twist along the way. You know what I'm talking about, the Javier Trail and the Javier Ranch and the incident at Rochester. I throw a lot of side twists and just funny things that kind of things that have happened to me personally are interjected. But all this time, this loner for 2.5 years, there's a FEMA Camp 43, which is, there is one up in northwest part of Nevada, and he's planning, he's going to free that cat no matter what. And in the end, I have a big surprise on there, and you'll be, he falls in love with Lynn Beasley, and she becomes the Night Ranger. And in the end, there's some highs and lows in that story. That leads me to Prison City, which I changed to Sin City Prison. They get sidetracked. I'm thinking, well, gee, how can I take it to the next level where people can relate that their freedoms are being threatened and their way of life is being threatened by this administration and what's going to happen this summer. So that's where my editor came in, and I was just going to say, I'm just going to end this. It's going to be a trilogy. That's it, you know, because these are lengthy epic journeys, both of these books. And while they're meeting with the new characters from Sin City Prison, they put a wall around Las Vegas because it's a ghost town now. And there's three new nations. There's the Texas Nation. There's the Freedom Nation. That's the Midwest and the Constitution Nation. And there's still the United States of America in the Northeast. And the federal government doesn't have the money anymore. They've gone broke already, and the dollar is worthless. So these upstart unions are starting to get an upper hand. And so they're deciding, going to have a meeting with some of the Texas people down by Hoover Dam, and they meet with them. There's some incidents there. I introduced some new characters. There's the McFoster brothers. Those are two people that I knew. They're young men in my hometown, and I combined their names, their characters in my books, and a few other names. But as they're riding back on the same ravine that they use for prisoners to escape from FEMA Camp 37, just as they're ready to leave, where they saw where the stratosphere, they blew up the stratosphere, they see three little bodies fleeing up this ravine. And it's a 10 and 11-year-old little girls, sisters, and a 12-year-old little boy. And so they snatch them up on their horseback, and they escape the same guard. And it goes from there. They discover that Homeland Security is starting to employ child laborers as, you know, little kids as slaves to rebuild FEMA Camp 37. So they're deciding what they're going to do. I'm at 80,000 words right now in this book. I thought I'd be through with it, but I'll start to see the light at the end of the tunnel for the story, but I had to go to a higher level than what I did with FEMA Camp 43. And like, if you've read the book, you're going to need a box of tissue. So that's where I'm at right now, Stefan.
Okay. You also mentioned you weren't sure whether or not you were actually going to expand the trilogy to a trilogy plus one.
Yes. The Sin City, I was going to do that, where I already had the story in mind. I'd already had a dream about it. And it involves the characters, the ones that survived from the first and second book. And, you know, Nevada, in the stories, gold and silver rule the day. You know, and Nevada has a lot of gold and silver. And in 43, they start seizing gold and silver mines, and all of a sudden, they've got the money to buy weapons and whatnot. So they're planning on, you know, in this state, if you took Las Vegas out of this state, there might be, I don't know, 10,000 people. There's not many people. But they're hard, man. If you took Las Vegas out of this state, it's a beautiful place. I mean, absolutely. The Ruby Mountains, the Great Basin Highway, oh, my gosh. People come down to the Strip and see all the glitz and whatnot. But anyhow, I was going to have it where they just have to drive out, take over FEMA Camp 37 like they did FEMA Camp 43 and get rid of Nellis Air Force Base and, you know, put all the drama and the twist in there. But I got sidetracked with the kid angle. But, yeah, I think it will be a fourth book, yes. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't know, and I don't know if that's a quadrology or whatever. Rex, I'm going to take a quick break, as I mentioned, for a couple of minutes. I'll put you on mute for a moment, and then when you hear the station ID, I'll be getting ready to bring you back in. So, folks, just stick with us. As Rush Limbaugh likes to say, got to pay the rent as well, and appreciate those of you that use the 800 numbers that... Okay, great. And I appreciate, you know, if you use the 800 numbers in these commercials, because it does help the show. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Homeowners, did you know a burglar could break into your home and get away in just 5 minutes? A locked door may not be enough to keep a thief out of your home. Think about what you can lose, and then think about this. Now you can get a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Pick up your phone now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-800-943-9167. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. So call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-800-943-9167. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement at $35.99 a month. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and protect your home license numbers. Call now, 1-800-943-9167. That's 1-800-943-9167.
Hello, everybody. Doc Weiss here, host of the Conservative Underground, with this week's Conservative Minute. President Obama can deliver as many polished speeches from his teleprompter as he likes, but the fact remains, American families are struggling on his watch to pay their bills, find a job, and keep their homes. The average cost of college has increased by 25% since Obama took office. Gas prices at the pump have more than doubled since Obama took office. Yet median household income has declined $4,300 since Obama took office. The nation has lost 572,000 jobs since, you guessed it, Obama took office. And when you count those who quit looking for work, the unemployment rate approaches 12%. While President Obama all but ignores his record, this November, the American people will not.
Turn on the Conservative Underground live every Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday evening at 9 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio and replay on our network partner, RedStateTalkRadio.com.
Well, we have a...
This is the Patriot Come Lately Show, coming to you on the internet via Blog Talk Radio. Also available via WRS Digital. This is the Patriot Come Lately Show, coming to you on the internet via Blog Talk Radio. Also available via WRS Digital, the Red State Talk Radio Network, at redstatetalkradio.com.
And we're back after a little bit of a hiccup there. I don't know whether it's Blog Talk Radio or my network, so apologies for that. I have as guest tonight Ari or Rex Reapy and his wife Masha. He's the author of two books that are currently available, FEMA Camp 37, FEMA Camp 43, and Rex, they're available only through Amazon, I believe. Is that correct? Are you there, Rex? I'm not hearing you, Rex. Let me just... Hello, Rex? Are you there? Okay, seem to have lost you, Rex. I don't know if you're on mute or if you want to... let's see what's going on there. Sorry about that, folks. We seem to have lost Rex. I think there's some issues with Blog Talk Radio right now with bringing the guests back into the show. Do have a couple of questions that I'm going to ask Rex a little bit later, but one comment, hopefully he can hear this, was from one of the listeners in the chat room. Don't give away too much of the show. So let's see. Oh.
You there?
I think got you. Yes, I think I've got you back, Rex. Sorry about that.
I haven't touched anything. You guys have a Florida lighted storm down there?
Actually, I'm in Milwaukee, in Scott Walker country right now. And we have had thunderstorms here, so who knows? Maybe that. Rex, like I said, one of the listeners was actually John Hancock, who you know from Liberty Inherited, made the comment. Sounds great. He's bought a copy of your book. And he said, don't give away too much of the plot because he hasn't read it yet. So,
right. I'm not. Like I said, I'd like to get in the philosophies and the policies of Obama and the true reason why, the underlying reasons why I wrote the book. And that's basically, I called in Prison City, I made some pretty bold predictions. So what I think is going to happen and what I fear is that, you recall that, I don't know if you had a chance to read that little manual that Anonymous sent me, but I personally don't think I don't think there's going to be any elections once this president realizes he's lost. And he's looking for any incident, and that left-hand drawer, he's left-handed, and that left-hand top drawer, he has that Rex 84 executive order ready to go and be signed. And I think that's what's going to happen, and it'll just be any type of blip on the screen. Let's take, for instance, Iran and Israel or the dollar crashing. And in Prison City, I made a statement that in May or June, the European Union would crash. That's what I majored was in economics in college, graduated with that degree. And it's pretty easy to extrapolate. If you extrapolate what they spend and what they take in, you know, I did this like a year ago. I've been telling my wife, I said, they're going to go broke, and they're running the banks on Greece today, and Italy looks like it's following. And when that happens, you're going to see the dollar crash. And when the dollar crashes, and you go out there, and if you can find gas, and it's $100 a gallon, and a loaf of bread costs $40, and your Social Security check won't buy squat, or your welfare check won't buy a squat to feed those kids, there's going to be riots in the cities. And that's what originally FEMA camps were designed, was to contain a lot of the black neighborhoods, because that lower income class of people, they take action, man. And that's what they were designed to do. And once you know, that's the way the government works. Once they get a toehold, they'll go from there. So that's why I sent you that manual that's titled the U.S. Army Internment and Reeducation Field Manual, that was distributed to the troops on February 10th of this year. And the question is, what does it say? The question should be, why the hell does that even exist or have been printed up in this country?
Yeah, and I had a read of that, and I'll say, you know, I'll play the devil's advocate here. And one thing it does, in the beginning, seem to start and talk about basically doing this in foreign countries. But you know that if they're kind of practicing and doing it in foreign countries, it's a small step, right, to come back home.
Well, there's a lot of documentation that there are FEMA camps. They have one here in North Las Vegas. You can go look at it. It's right out by Nellis. And it's empty, but they've got some guards. The fences are turned inward. I mean, it's supposed to be a FEMA camp. I don't know what maybe just round up some of those drunk guys on the strip. I don't know, but I just think that he's looking for any excuse to implement martial law in this country once he realizes he's not going to. This guy's a narcissist. He's a narcissist. And while the country's having problems and they're going down in flames, he's on The View today, you know? He's on The View today talking. And he's good at campaigning and reading a teleprompter, but, man, I myself think it doesn't matter who gets elected, you know, that we're in trouble. But in this instance, I think we're in a lot more serious trouble than what everybody realizes. And we will see. I hope I'm wrong.
There's not going to be any election.
Yeah, well, his...
Or martial law before then.
I suspect there is definitely a chance of that happening, Marcia. I'm not sure it will happen, because on the other hand, I think...
Well, what's interesting, if anybody, and it hasn't been taught, just read The Rise and Fall of Hitler or anything... Read as much as you can about what was going on in pre-war Germany. I mean, here you had a democratically elected person. That was Hitler. And the first thing he started was class warfare. And he started attacking the banks, Jews that owned the banks. I mean, Jews owned the banks, but not all the Jews owned the banks. Boy, the correlations and the coincidences are eerie when you start putting one and one against each other. And that's what's going on here. I mean, just to come in here every day, and divert the issues, and we're going to have some problems. I really feel that's the way that's going to play out. And you will know what's happened was that's different between then and now is the genie was let out of the bottle with the Internet. That accelerated the information. I don't know if you ever read Marshall McLuhan or Alvin Toffler. But they kind of called the shots, but they didn't anticipate Facebook and all these other things that where you could have instant communications. And that'll be your first signal when they'll pull the plug on that Internet. That'll be your first sign that there's trouble ahead. But they are trying to get a handle on that, and you know that from the various acts that's been passed, SOPA and the NDAA. And like I said, it's a genie that's been let out of the bottle, and they wish they could get it back in, but it's probably too late. But the word's being spread all over. It's fun to see.
Yeah, and you know, as you're saying about the possibility of you know, of martial law, etc. I think one of the things is because it's competition, because Milquetoast Mitt is not as far away from him as we'd like. I think that's kind of the only thing that may be saving us, that the puppeteers behind there are sort of saying, hey, we can maybe live with this other guy because he's also supported by the big banks and all the big money, et cetera. So that might be our saving grace. And the only difference is that at least he's going to lift his foot off the accelerator pedal or the gas pedal, as you say over here. You know, I think that's the big difference. A lot of people say, well, why are you all uptight about Obama? Why weren't you about George Bush? Well, we got hit by George Bush, and by the time we realized what was happening, Obama came along, and the big difference between Bush and Obama is that Obama just put his foot down on the gas pedal.
He put the pedal to the metal. I say George Bush is a lot to blame for that. There were people that were getting upset about George Bush spending so much money, and so far Obama's spent five times as much. And what do you think he's going to do if he does get reelected? You know, what's interesting is some of the people that are coming out, like, I don't know if you heard about the Beach Boys, Bruce Johnson, but he's on the net. I mean, he's putting it in very blunt terms. If he gets reelected, we are, you know the word. And I think that's, everybody's starting to sense that. But getting back to the books and the thrust of that, I think that's, and John Hancock's book, I think that that's the intestinal fortitude that's inherent in all of us, well, most of us Americans. I think it's in the kids. I think you're seeing it in the Occupy movement. I think you've seen it in every movement, and it's starting to get stirred up. I mean, it's coming out strong. Everybody's starting to come together and put their political beliefs aside and realize that the country is in danger, and it's starting to rise to the surface. And I think it's going to get worse. There's not going to be any blacks, no browns, no whites. It's just going to, they're going to put everybody in there unless something's done. And I think that's what you're seeing. I think that in, that genetic inherited trait in America that Obama doesn't recognize as exceptionalism is coming to the surface, and it's starting to boil. And you know, God bless the Tea Party people. I mean, they tried to do it peacefully. They were the first ones out there, and it was horrible the way the mainstream media treated them. And these, you know, I'll tell you, you can always tell traitor to the beliefs of American exceptionalism if they say the word political correctness. That's a sign of a traitor right there. You just might as well dismiss them, because there's no such thing as political correctness when it comes to being free in this country. And that's the bottom line, period.
Yep. Okay, Rex is going to take another break, so if you'll hang on there for a moment, and we'll be back after these messages.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bellawood pre-finished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-241-0546 to get your free copy now. 877-241-0546. 877-241-0546.
They're close enough that it might put it off. He might lose.
This is the Patriot Come Lately show, coming to you on the internet via Blog Talk Radio. Also available via WRS Digital, the Red State Talk Radio Network, at redstatetalkradio.com.
Okay, so we're back in the show with Rex Reapy and his wife, Marshall, author of FEMA Camp 37, FEMA Camp 43, fictional, thank goodness, books. Very thrilling. Great spirit of adventure. Now, they're set in Nevada, which I presume is because you live there, Rex.
That's correct.
You know, you talk a lot about the trails. Do you have horses? Do you go riding? Have you explored? Or have you found actual trails like the ones you describe? Are they figments of your imagination?
No, they're not figments. I haven't done any horse riding, but I've driven all around the back countries. People don't realize how vast this state is. From Las Vegas, going to Backwaite Arena, most people go out to California, go up interstate, whatever it is out there. But we went up 93. I'm telling you, when you go to Tonopah, you better get a tank of gas, baby, to this. It's 458 miles. And
wow.
I used to think, geez, you know, from Orlando to Atlanta, it was 448 miles, you know. But you see Tonopah, that's where Wyatt Earp was the sheriff there. Great mountains. You can see trails. You can see people on horses. And it just boggles the imagination that people used to move about the state on a horse back then.
Right.
Way before cars.
Now, one thing I noticed you didn't kind of touch on in the books, you do mention Nellis Air Force Base, but of course close to Nellis Air Force Base in Nevada is the infamous Area 51, and that didn't figure in any of the other books. And I must admit, was sort of kind of expecting that maybe to rear its ugly head somewhere there. Or do you think that in the situation described in the books, that would still be too way off limits for the scouts to be involved there?
Well, I've used Nellis 51. I wrote a book called ARC. That's a great read. It's a science fiction book. It's rather lengthy. And that involves Area 51. But the primary one, I wrote a trilogy called The Staff of Joe. And that's when God comes back and taps a teamster, and he has this big stick. And in that book, too, I attack Obama administration. And he tells his teamster he wants him to go to Washington, D.C. and take this stick and free his people. And it's the Staff of Moses, except he's loaning it to Joe. And that's a trilogy. And that's a wild tale. People would really enjoy that. I mean, I bring back George Carlin as his driver. Charlton Heston goes and buys an RV and they take off, and Abaddon, people who are familiar with religion know who Abaddon is. He's the one that threw Satan into hell twice. And they wind to Washington, D.C., and it's just a imaginative tale. But what I went to was the Staff of Joe 2, where the leader of the resistance movement in Montana was a kid named Billy, and he works at Area 51 developing EMP, electromagnetic, pulse generators. And man, Montana is at war with the federal government, and so is Texas, and they get some help along the way from a man from the future, and also from Michael. He's sent by God to study why men try to kill each other, and that leads to the last book, which is The Time Lord of God, which gets even wilder. And imagine what it would be like to go back in time and have a little chat with Adolf Hitler at the Eagles Lair, But it's been selling pretty well. That's a trilogy also.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
and
I thought about going to Area 51.
Yeah, also on Amazon, Rex?
All the books there. There's about 17 or 18 of them. They're starting to pick up on sales.
Well,
I didn't
realize you were that prolific.
I started doing it for fun. I do owe Obama and Pelosi a little thanks for that, because when he sit there and slam Las Vegas, he might as well flew over this town and dropped a dirty bomb on it. People started drying up. In the Carpenters Union, I had 9 friends that have committed suicide over these past 3 years. But I'd started writing 10 years ago. I had the 2101 Chronicles underway. That's a 7-book series. And so first week I was laying here on the couch watching Steve Wilkos and Jerry Springer. And I said, I'm not that type of person. So I got on the keyboard. I've always been dabbling in writing. And I went to my son who copyrighted my name, son. Thank you. Next one, your grandkids going to be named Eugene. But he was the one that suggested that I should start publishing books. And So I started doing that, and I usually spend 8 to 10 hours, 5-6 days a week, knocking out a story. I don't like write like maybe John does, John Hancock, because it's weird. I've got in our bedroom, my bed's pushed into the corner of the bedroom, and I have a little corner there. I call it the corner of dreams. And boy, when I put my right hand in there, I have nightmares sometimes, and I wake up in the middle of the night and I'll start writing. That's why Marcia sleeps with a little baseball bat beside the bed. I've broken my foot and electrolytic outlet's been popped 2 or 3 times to crack, because I get into those dreams. But some people would call those dreams nightmares. But they come to me very vividly, and I have other dreams, but the books come from that. I don't have any problem with writer's block. That's certainly true.
That's interesting. Okay, I'm going to take my final quick break here, Rex, if you'll hang on again. for a short while, and then we'll be right back again, as I said, after the messages.
Homeowners, did you know a burglar could break into your home and get away in just 5 minutes? A locked door may not be enough to keep a thief out of your home. Think about what you can lose, and then think about this. Now you can get a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Pick up your phone now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-800-943-9167. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. So call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-800-943-9167. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement at $35.99 a month. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and protect your home license numbers. Call now, 1-800-943-9167. That's 1-800-943-9167.
You're riding. Can't walk.
The Freedom Swing Conservative Minute. Hello, freedom lovers. Do you have some liberal friends who think socialism works, that Democrats have new and original ideas, that the policies the Democrats support are good? There's no better example of what utter failures Democrats are and how socialism does not work than the state of California. These boneheads in California voted Jerry Brown in once again to be the governor of their state, and now they find themselves with a $16 billion deficit. And what is Jerry Brown's solution to help fix that problem? You guessed it, raise taxes. So how's that working for you, California? If you want more of that, vote Barack Obama in 2012. You can listen to the Freedom Swing Show live on Blog Talk Radio Tuesdays and Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time and Saturdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. You can watch the live streaming via the webcam at BigDogMusicMafia.com at those same times. And check out the rebroadcast at FTRRadio.com, LibertyBellRadio.com, and RedStateTalkRadio.com. And please check out FreedomSwingsPolitics.com for breaking news, political analysis, Wings gear, and much, much more.
Come Lately Show, coming to you on the internet via Blog Talk Radio and the Red State Talk Radio Network.
Well, we're thanks for sticking with us, listeners, through the break, whether you're live and here in the chat room or whether you are listening to the recordings. And don't forget, if you are listening either live or to the recording, you like the show, please let folks know. They can listen at archives.patriotcomelately.us 24/7, or also regular rebroadcasts on Red State Talk Radio Network, where many other good conservative hosts can be heard. I've played a couple of the conservative minutes of some of my fellow hosts on Red State Talk Radio. And, you know, so do spread the word, because the reason I started this show was to educate folks and get them thinking in the right frame of mind and keep the flame of liberty alive. And then it's people like my guest tonight, Rex Reapy, and his wife, Marsha, who, in a slightly different way, by writing very exciting, thrilling books, are also helping to keep that idea of liberty alive. And I have to say, Rex, every time I listen to, that I read your book, then I do, you know, go through it and sort of think, oh yeah, you talked about being in the cell together. Well, just so long as we've got a Pale Rider or a Night Ranger to come rescue us, then, you know, I think we can afford a bit of time in the cell.
Well, I just want to say a shout out to Janet Napolitano, and go ahead, have Homeland Security buy 100,000 copies so the inmates will have something to read.
that would be a good idea to distribute.
Maybe if
I win a big lottery ticket, then I'll buy a bunch of them and distribute them around the prisons and whatever. That would be fun.
Yeah, that would be a good way to that'll be a good way to torment everybody. Oh, crap, he was warning us back 10 years ago.
I want to remind folks that you do have another book coming out soon. And, of course, you've got your, like I said, we talked about this, these two and the trilogy that they're part of. But, you do have a number of other books available through Amazon. So that's the place to go to pick them up. And, do go read them. I like the two that I've read, so I'm definitely going to look for more. And, of course, I am waiting for the next one in the trilogy, the one about Las Vegas. That sounds like that'll be a good one, too. So,
how did you like the part where the two German Shepherds and the Jack Russell Terrier interrogated the warden?
I thought that was great, and I love the theme of the animals in that second book. I have to say, some of my Facebook friends will know because we also used to have three dogs, but this last weekend we lost one of the older ones, not the oldest one, but one of the older ones suddenly went backwards in about 3-4 days and just kidneys gave up and stuff like that. So we had to put it down. So it was a little bit of a sad weekend. But I know exactly, the feelings that you express in that book about the animals, how close people can get. And my dogs are not very good at interrogation.
Hopefully not.
Jack Russell Terriers can be pretty good.
Yeah, but they are very good at the cuddling, which also comes in into your book a little bit. I like the way that that Lynn kind of slowly
feels the dogs
from France.
Feels the dog's affections from Francis, right?
Yeah. It's an interesting thing. And just one final thing as we get into the last minute here. Just want to say, if you look at the books, one thing that struck me, you do have very strong women in both books. And I'm sort of going, and here's the progressives trying to talk about the conservative war on women. And yet a conservative writer like yourself is writing about how strong the women are. So, I think it's,
America's
very
a strong
ironic.
Woman.
Well, America's and that helps.
Very strong.
Yep. Yeah. That definitely helps. Well, Marcia and Rex, I want to thank you very much for coming on this evening. Sorry for a few technical hiccups along the way, but it's been you've been a really interesting guest. I really enjoyed it. And you know what? I'm going to keep in touch, Rex. And when your other book comes out, I definitely would like to have you come back.
I'd be pleased, man. You got a great show.
Well, I appreciate
you. We're going to be cellmates one of these days, or at least you're going to be the one next to me.
and I'm hoping actually in the fall to come out to Nevada way, so I will get in touch with you because I'm coming out as a good Brit or ex-Brit. I have embraced the Second Amendment, and I'm coming out to the Front Sight Gun School, which is outside Las Vegas in Pahrump.
Well,
and
come on, Trump? Yeah, come on out. We'll go shoot my AK-47.
Yeah, well, and I'm going to learn.
Out for the gun school.
Yeah, my wife wants to know, Pahrump, you sure you're just coming out for the gun schools? You know what's out in Pahrump, don't you?
At the brothels. Oh, yes.
That's the only reason why people go to Pahrump.
Anyway, so... but looking forward to that. Okay, so thanks a lot, folks. And like I said, I'll looking forward. Let us know when the new book comes out, and I'll be there at Amazon to get a copy immediately because I'm really looking forward to it. So thanks for coming on.
It's been a pleasure, Stefan.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Good night, both of you.
Good night.
And of course, now we have reached the end of the show. As ever, time flies when you're having fun. So. It was great having that on. I say TTFN to everyone. Thanks for coming. And remember, please spread the word. Let people get the message through this show and other shows. Good night.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Patriot Come Lately Show. Please take what you have learned and share it with friends and family. Better still, tell them about the show so they can listen too. Remember to support the advertisers on the show. It helps keep this show on the air, and I thank you for that. I'm looking forward to joining you on the next show. Until then, keep spreading our message. Goodbye, and God bless America.